From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today on the show, got to continue yesterday's conversation, get caught up on a few things, and head into the latter part of the week. Ole Miss football practice this morning. We have some access to that. We also are getting coordinators after practice, so we'll talk to Phil Longo. We'll talk to Wesley McGriff. Coverage up at rebelgrove.com. There's some recruiting up at rebelgrove.com as well. So I think Russell even said maybe the five next people possible to commit or something like that yesterday.
Yeah, I suspect we'll get that story. I'm not trying to belittle Russell's story right out of the gate. This will be one of those years, I suspect. Because I'll be honest, up front, I think there will be change at the end of the season. This will be one of those years where, if I'm right, there will be a lot of change in recruiting. There will be class kids. There will be a lot of decommitments, new faces.
I mean, every time there's coaching search, you got to realize that also includes a lot of assistants. What relationships did you have? What areas do you have relationships in? I mean, yeah, obviously there's overlap and there's carryover because of your location and your pipelines. However, it's a whole new board in a way.
Yeah, and if, let's say, they go a completely different direction, they being Ross Bjork and Ole Miss, and hire a completely new person who's an established head coach, well, he is going to bring his staff with him, or most of it. There's going to be change. Boy, that debate. I had it yesterday with two different people. People kind of getting upset already a little bit about, well, what if they start 3-0? And my response, it's that deal that really frustrates me sometimes, Chase, if I'm honest. My response is not a caustic response. It's, okay, what if they do? Well, don't you think we should take the interim tag off of him? No. After three games against South Alabama, UT Martin, and Cal, I do not. Now, is that a criticism of Matt Luke? No. Not even in the least. But I think to make that judgment, if Ross Bjork did that, the first thoughts that would come to my mind are premature, panicked, and completely out of his league, which are three things that I never have ever thought about Ross Bjork, ever.
Yeah, well, number one, no SEC games. Number two, it could go off the rails after that for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
And number three, and most important, you get 12 games. Use them. There is no deadline.
There's no reason to rush.
You know, it worked out, but Ole Miss did a little bit of that. And it's not exactly the same. It's not apples to apples. But in 2002, after Mike had gotten hired in June of 2000, they gave him his first contract. I think his first contract was like $75,000 a year or something. It's gone up a little since then.
Yeah.
And in 2002, Ole Miss got to number six in the country. They beat Alabama 2 out of 3. Pretty good Alabama team at the time. And vaulted up the rankings. And Ole Miss like doubled his salary or gave him a contract extension right there in the middle of the season. And that was 1 week or right when they lost 10 of their last 12 SEC games to end the year and missed the postseason, finished 14-16.
There's just no reason to do something in a hasty fashion. There's absolutely no incentive at all. And I can hear people going, recruiting. Recruiting's the incentive. Eh. This isn't going to be a top 15 class. You're not losing a collection of five stars. Let's get real. This is going to be a transition class one way or the other. Last year's class was a bad class. There's going to be a dip. Mm-hmm. There's just going to be – the program's going to take a dip. Doesn't have to be a catastrophic fall off a cliff, but it's going to be a dip. Get the right person, whether that's Matt Luke or whoever, to build four or five really good classes and get your program back.
So we continue that conversation podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Saw lots of you that have picked up the daiquiris on our message board right now. Somebody said they got the 32-ounce one yesterday, Neil. So I guess that's the medium size, I think. I think the 32-ounce is the medium. Saw somebody on Twitter tell us they got a 32-ounce watermelon. So you get six flavors to choose from, more flavors coming soon as well. So check them out at the Oxford Exxon. Again, you can get the hurricane, the peach, the watermelon, the strawberry, the margarita, and the grape. That's one I keep forgetting because I don't like grape. Kind of like Neil doesn't like banana pudding, which has become a hot topic on the message board as well. So the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
Yeah, it has. I've gotten a lot of pushback about banana pudding.
Well, it is a little un-American.
Yeah. I mean, I love America. Just don't like banana pudding. I fail to see how the two go together.
They're mutually inclusive.
I like baseball.
Hot dogs, baseball, and Budweiser, right? I mean,
I'm good. It was baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet. I mean, I've never owned a Chevrolet. I don't particularly like.
I haven't either.
I don't particularly like apple pie.
You just don't like fruit.
I did have a Chevrolet.
You really just don't like fruit.
I really don't. I did have a Chevrolet, actually, I think about it, when I was like 16.
That El Camino looking
thing? Chevy El Camino. God, that was a chick magnet. Girls loved it. But okay. I love baseball. America. Watched several baseball games last night. Anyway, podcast comes to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Clark Ford, Inc. is the website. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. And then it's up to you. You take your quote, shop it around if you'd like, or you can take your quote and let the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many listeners of this podcast all over the South, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's easy. It's right to the bottom line. You get a great deal on a great Ford vehicle. And at the end of the deal, right before you finalize everything, say, hey, Corey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden, and you get $500 off. The bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
Did you get your daily snake tweet yesterday, last night?
The boa constrictor living in the attic?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me not want to ever go in the attic again. I already dread the
goal. That one didn't really do much for me. That didn't freak me out as bad as some that I've seen. I thought that was, you know, we've talked about it so much. You gotta really bring the noise a little bit now, and that did not do much. Yeah, family discovers 6-foot boa constrictor has been living in the attic for years. Probably over the last couple of years, my wife said she'd heard sounds in the attic. My son had heard sounds in the attic, thought maybe it was rats. Snake trapper finally removed the snake. He said it was more than 6 foot long and may have been there for 4 years, as a guess.
How does a boa constrictor get up in your attic?
Well, they can get anywhere. You know, as I told you, they can get as thin as a piece of paper and fit through any crack there is. So, I'm just saying. Don't think about that, though. Just forget I said it.
Man, I hate you right now.
You hear that? Something in the wall.
Yeah. Get some raw tomatoes for you, pal.
Anyway, all right. No, you're correct. I mean, again, just talking points we've heard. You got 12 games, got a season. Ross Bjork said that the other day on the podcast. He said, look, we're gonna get through this season. Right now, the priorities, the kids, the players, and making this as manageable as humanly possible, and you go from there.
And what if you find out, even if people go, what if he wins 8 games? Okay. Is he the best guy?
People like benchmarks. People like finish lines. They like the ability to go 8, 7, 6. And I get that we've talked about the stupidity of that. I mean, that was the Ed Orgeron thing was, okay, well, if Fournette runs it in from the one, he gets the job. But if he gets stuffed at the one, he doesn't get the job. Your program hinges on 4th and 1.
Your program hinges on 24 inches? Seriously? You're going to make a decision based on 2 feet?
But the thing is, that has happened in dumb situations.
Oh, hell yes, it happens. You're going to make a decision based on whether a kid catches a ball or not?
I mean, look, speaking of Ed Orgeron, he didn't get fired because he didn't convert a 4th-and-1 with Benjarvis Green-Ellis.
No.
He got fired because it was a complete and utter train wreck, and they beat Northwestern State 38-31 in front of 8,000 people.
You hire Matt Luke if and only if, after scouring the landscape, you think he's the best guy. He's the best guy you can get. He's the best guy. You don't try to save a penny here, pinch a penny there. You don't go cheap. You don't get emotional. Ooh, they beat Arkansas. Well, that does it. Why? Why does that do it? You wait till it's over, and one thing you do not do is you do not hinge it on an egg bowl. If I hear that one more time, I'm gonna throw banana puddings at people. Why would you hinge any game, any decision on one game, no matter the emotion of the game? One game? It's like Theo Epstein. I go back to this all the time because it's brilliant. Ben Zobrist hits a ground ball down the third baseline. Ends up scoring Albert Almora. The Cubs win the World Series.
Yep.
If the ball is 2 feet towards the shortstop, same ball, it's a double play, Indians are out of the inning, Cleveland gets a shot in the bottom of the 10th to win the game.
2 feet.
2 feet. Now, let's say that happened. Let's say Cleveland wins the game. Does that take away the effectiveness of what Theo Epstein did over the last 5 years? No, it doesn't change it at all. How ludicrous would that be to go, well, now you failed? No, it's a game. Games are – you make a decision. That's why I think Bjork will actually do it well. Whether he ends up with Matt Luke or not, I think he'll do it well. I don't think he's going to make an emotional decision. I know what's coming at the end of September if Ole Miss starts 3-0. 2 weeks of active campaigning by emotional people. We will be the ones that say, it's be dumb to do it right now, and we'll get labeled negative. It's kind of why I'm getting out in front of it. It's not negative in the middle of September to say, no, now's not the time to make a rash decision. How do you know who's not out? How do you know who's out there? Ross Bjork's job over the next few months is simple. It's complex, but it's simple. You support the team. You support Matt Luke. You support the coaching staff. You do that job. And then on the other hand, you, behind the scenes, reach out to people. You contact people. You gauge interest. You evaluate. And you start making decisions on who would you really like to talk to. Because when the Egg Bowl's over, I mean, let's keep this part real. You have some time. Matt Luke's not leaving you. I mean, if he's telling the truth, and I'm sure he is, that this is his dream job, he'll give it a few days. Why LSU was so dumb to hire Orgeron as fast as it did.
He would have taken the job whenever.
Where was Ed going? But what about recruiting? Stop. You don't base the decision on one recruiting class.
One where you're going to be completely in trouble with the early signing period anyway.
Yeah.
I guess a little bit of news. We mentioned the Houston Nutt lawsuit with Ross Bjork, Antonio Morales, Clarion Ledger story last night, this morning, saying that no settlement was reached between the two parties, between Houston Nutt and Ole Miss. Reading from the Clarion Ledger, Oxford-based attorney Cal Mayo, who's a member of the outside counsel representing Ole Miss, confirmed no settlement was reached between the two sides. And here's what's interesting, a couple quotes. Moore's having fun at this point more than anything else. Not edgy, just sarcastic. Kind of being that guy a little bit here. He goes, and here I thought we'd done them a huge favor, Morris said. And as they say, no good deed goes unpunished. Later on in the article, Ole Miss outside counsel sent its response to Morris on Tuesday morning. Mars had not seen it as of Tuesday evening. And it says, Bjork said, the nature of the proposal does not allow us to even negotiate with them, basically saying that the way the proposal was written, there was no power to whatever. Mars says, I have no idea where they got that idea. We never said anything to suggest we weren't willing to negotiate. And then when asked what's coming next, Mars said, where's the quote? I have it here. I'd rather it be a surprise. It's more interesting that way.
Oh, good grief.
What is going on?
So I did a show in, I did Bo Mattingly's show in Fayetteville yesterday. And he really was focused on this. This is a bigger story outside of Mississippi than it is in Mississippi. This hang up about whether Ole Miss should apologize to Houston Nutt. Look, I kind of think Ole Miss probably owes Houston Nutt a very limited apology. But then I'd follow it up with the backhanded, all right, here's your apology, but also here comes an explanation. Your academic fraud is one of the biggest reasons that this thing kept going. Under your watch, whether it was you or not, under your watch, kids had the ACT taken for them. Your coaches knew about it. That's been established.
You admitted to it.
We fired you. We agreed to a settlement, and we wrote the check. There's no now, if there is a disparagement clause, then we have a different conversation. Ole Miss insists that there's not. I don't know. I've not seen it. If Ole Miss is telling the truth, and I get why people don't trust the truth from Ole Miss right now, but if Ole Miss is telling the truth and there's not a disparagement clause, well, they've not done anything wrong. And the reason, if Houston Nutt is claiming that this is the reason he's not in coaching, that's simply disingenuous. And the people who are parroting that are absolutely propagating a lie.
It's the funniest part of me with me. Now, as you said, there's multiple layers here. But
yeah,
the insistence on the people peddling this stuff from Mars, national writers for the most part, to disregard the academic fraud portion of this situation because it fits the narrative they're trying to push at the moment is what is amazing to me, because typically those people would be freedom fighting to the fullest extent over the academic fraud, having trouble with the academic process and all that kind of stuff. But instead, because it's not what's going on today to fit what they need to write, well, yeah, but, and normally just changing kind of the conversation. I mean, we as much back and forth as we've had and everything else, like I listened to Chris Brooks with Dan Wolkin a couple days ago, and Chris brought up kind of the academic fraud portion of that, and immediately it was subject change. Yeah, but Ole Miss lied, subject change. Nobody really wants to talk about the fact that Ole Miss admitted to academic fraud and that it was clearly the most devastating portion of that first NOA. Now, from a quantity standpoint, yes, Ole Miss lied. But from a quality standpoint,
time out.
Go ahead.
Did Ole Miss lie or did Hugh Freeze lie?
Well, fair enough.
Is it Hugh Freeze who owes Houston Nutt an apology?
I mean, is it broken down that easily, though?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you.
Let me say this. I'm journalist number three, and I'm going to be careful here.
You are journalist number three.
I never talked to Ross Bjork.
No.
About that. We never had a conversation in that time frame about that NOA. As frustrated as I was, because I can remember saying, holy hell, man. Listen, I don't have Ross Bjork's cell phone number. I don't think anybody on the beat does. Now, he communicates back and forth. He's great about it, as you heard on the podcast. But that was a frustrating time. I can remember saying to you, you know, somebody over there ought to get off their ass and talk a little bit about what's in this damn NOA. Ross Bjork didn't call me that afternoon at 5:20-something. I would have liked for him to. He didn't.
No.
If I recall correctly, he did not respond to my DMs going, hey, man, I really need to talk to you about this. I know who I talked to over there. I know what was said. It's That's why I've said all along, I think they're kind of barking up the right tree, but I'm not sure they're getting in the right branch.
Wrong limb.
Wrong limb. Got in the wrong hole in the trunk. I don't know. Does Houston Nutt deserve an apology in a limited capacity? I would say yes.
The issue Nutt has, and at this point I've kind of seen this too from just the way it's written, he has no way to claim damages. So a suit where you're not claiming or have the ability to prove damages, what are we even talking about? You hurt my feelings?
Like, yes.
I mean, you know what I mean, though?
Well, that's why he says he wants nothing for him and $500,000 for an ethics commission.
Okay.
Maybe Danny needs a job.
You can run the ethics commission. Get some freshman interns.
Freshman. God.
Anyway, there's the update there. I really have nothing else. But
well, that's why I like Antonio a lot, and Antonio's doing his job. I wanted to, when he said, what's next, I wanted to retweet and say, Groundhog Day, more of same. Nothing. Nothing's next.
Well, yeah, Morris says he's pursuing further legal action. He's going to push more paper.
Going to make it more interesting.
He's going to charge Houston Nutt more money, is what he's going to do. If you're the lawyer and I can kick the can down the road and keep billable hours coming, why not?
I mean, sure. I don't challenge anyone's ability to make a dime. You want to make some money, make some money.
Yeah. Maybe he's looking for a second home. Maybe even some condo financing in Oxford. Community Mortgage hook him up with that because they've got the float down option. It allows you to lock in your rate. But if the rates go down before you close, you just get that lower rate. Again, they're in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. And you can talk to them about this. We're talking to Jason Lowe, 662-234-2704. J-Lowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. this is not the one you're supposed to laugh at.
I know. Well, I'm laughing at that one, too. you know, if Houston if he's going to finance a home in Oxford, he needs to buy one first.
That would you need both. It's people helping people here. You have
you don't finance nothing. You got to finance something. So you ought to go to Harry Alexander first before he goes to Jason. Go to Harry Alexander, purchase a condo. It's harryalexander.com. They've got a complete listing there. You can filter through by what you need. You can get one. You could probably find one that was hog red, and you could get it all hooked up for you. Harry, take care of you. Make sure that you get a deal that you'd be happy with both now and down the road. It's ha@harryalexander.com. And then once Houston moves back to Oxford, he's going to have some time on his hands. OPC fall registration's going on. If you want to learn karate, take up fencing, get your kids involved in gymnastics or tennis, need some tips on catching that trophy bass. The Oxford Park Commission offers all of these exciting instructional classes and more. Registration for the fall going on through August 31st. They offer golf lessons for adults and youth, as well as a number of tennis and gymnastics classes that are suited for all ages. Outdoor programs such as canoeing and hiking are also available to take part in. Pick out the class or activity that suits you best by visiting them online now at oxfordparkcommission.com.
Didn't you kind of get a mental image there of Houston with his straw hat on trying to learn karate?
Well, I would have a lot of respect for Houston if he if he put on his straw hat and took a picture of him holding a big trophy bass. Now, that would be funny. I would get a giggle out of that.
Didn't he or Danny or Bo still have, like, basically Arkansas themes in their house or their office or something?
Danny did, I think.
Was it Danny?
Yeah. Houston might have too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd heard that at one point. I never walked through the establishment, but
I know this will shock you. I was never invited to the Nutt home.
You didn't get invited over to ride horses, like, you know, was it Uriah Grant that always had the picture next to the horse that we used for a while in our content?
Yeah. No, I was never invited.
I was a good kid. I like Uriah.
Yeah.
But when he committed, he was out in Houston's house that day, and he was just, I think he, it was just a big horse next to him. So we had the picture with the horse and Uriah.
Yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah.
I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it does.
Rapist with Houston.
Good times.
Giggity. Oh, man. We didn't appreciate that enough when it was going on, I don't think. The Houston Nut era.
Well.
Had Greg Hardy sitting Indian style on the ground doing interviews. Had Houston walking around. It was the best of times.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was all of those things.
Oh, man.
That last season, man. Whoa.
That's really the one you remember the most, isn't it?
Yeah, for a myriad of reasons, I remember the last one.
2010 was so interesting because people were still trying to hold on to the hope of it being that 9-win program for most of the year. You had, you know what I mean? You had Masoli, and even though it was falling apart so quickly, Masoli kind of kept them in at Arkansas, kept them in at LSU, played State okay at home. You know, it was just right there on the cusp of just kind of holding it together just enough to sort of convince yourself it was okay.
You ever think back what would have happened if – you remember the NCAA initially said that Masoli was not eligible?
Mm-hmm.
If that ruling had held up and he had not gotten to play that year, they went 5-7, right?
They went 4-8 or 5-7.
Four and eight.
They had to get two of the other ones to be bowl eligible.
If they went 4-8, with Masoli, without him, they would have gone.
They were going 1-11 or 2-10 based off Tulane. They ended up kind of beating Tulane and it being what it was, but that was they beat Tulane. They beat Kentucky.
They beat Kentucky in a close game.
And Fresno.
They beat Fresno pretty handedly, but Masoli was fantastic that game. So if they go 2-10 or 1-11 and 10 with Masoli on the bench, would Houston not have still gotten 11?
Would Masoli have been there in 11?
He said he would have stayed. Now, would he actually have stayed? I don't know. So you're saying they would have just flip-flopped years?
Yeah. Maybe one game worse just because, but yeah. Something like that. I mean, he was not getting fired after the 2010 season. Really, no matter what, in my opinion. I don't think he could have been fired. They beat Tulane 27-13. Beat Fresno 55-38 because they ran down their throats the entire night.
Yeah.
And then they beat Kentucky 42-35 just because there wasn't two more minutes left on the clock.
Yeah, Kentucky was – who was that cornerback?
Julian Whitehead.
Kentucky just
– Eric, was it
– might have been Cobb, the guy that's with the Green Packers now.
They had, like, Cobb, and then Andre Woodson might have been on that team, and then it might have been Derek Locke when it locked, the little running back for Kentucky.
Sounds right. They were just – you and your love of SEC East running backs. It is awesome. It is so cool. What is Chase Parham like? Well, he likes golf. He likes bourbon, and he likes SEC East running backs. That's what he likes.
Yeah.
Had they had one more possession –
they just kept throwing the ball up over Whitehead.
To the right. And bless his heart.
They won 42-35.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, Derek Locke, undrafted free agent in 2011 from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's about it. I mean, it's just, you just wonder, would it have been different?
No.
He would have still gotten the next year.
Yeah, he was not, I don't see any situation where Houston was fired after 2010. I really don't.
You're probably right.
He'd just gone to two cotton. I mean, all jokes aside, he'd just gone to two cotton bowls.
Back to back.
50.
It's been 50 years. 50.
We're this close. This close. Is it so close or this close?
This close.
This close.
This close.
You're not this close.
No. That's bad. 2011 was bad.
2010, yeah, minus Masoli would have been just as bad.
I can remember you and me having a conversation in 2011, standing there in fall camp, going, man, they might not win but like one or two games. And people around us were like, oh, come on. Everybody was like, you're being negative. And they played that BYU game that, was it BYU?
Yeah, they got beat 14-13.
Brazel, I remember
Nick dropped a ball. Zach Stout played quarterback that day.
And was actually serviceable.
Yeah, just okay enough.
Just barely enough.
Then they go beat the FCS team in a competitive game in week two.
Was that Southern Illinois?
Yeah, they beat Southern Illinois 42-24.
That was the game that I said they have all sorts of problems. And then, I can remember you and I sitting in the press box going, dude, we might have just covered their last win.
Then the next week is the when Vanderbilt was up 30-0 in the fourth quarter. Because it was 0-0 forever. And then suddenly it was a bomb that went off.
Yeah.
Dante Moncrief scored a touchdown late in the game. It was Ole Miss's one score.
But I remember about that was I was down on the field, and everybody else was bitching about Ole Miss calling timeout and stuff, and I was glad because it was just me and Pete Boone.
Yeah, that's right.
Sitting there having a conversation. I expected to
be. He had walked down, and he was standing in like a kind of a tunnel area right off the field at Vanderbilt.
By himself.
Yeah.
And everybody else, we got down on the field, walked where we always walk because that's where the post game was going to be. And I was like, well, here's the guy. And I really thought he would say, I can't talk right now.
Game's not going on.
Game's going on. I understand, but no.
Study said it's unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
It's all you needed.
And I thought, well, that's that. I actually thought, I know we've told this story so many times, but it was one of those fascinating days because fans always want to know inside baseball stuff with us. Game day for us can be really mundane because it's the same thing. It's Groundhog Day. Every game, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, what? I mean, how many times do I say to you, what the hell is my column from this? It's just another game. I don't know. Ole Miss played UT Martin today and won. Weather at 10. I mean, you just, like, I don't know what to say. That day it was, whoa. I know what I just saw. And then the AD says to me, and I know the AD is embattled. He says to me, it's unacceptable. Oh, this is not going to end well. And then we're getting ready to leave, and we were going to go home that night. And
we contemplated staying that night.
We ended up staying.
Yeah, well, we did, didn't we?
We stayed.
That's right, just in case.
Because we took Stephen Willis had been helping us in camp, and we took him to dinner.
Yeah, we went to dinner, and then I think we went to that brewery across the street from where we always stayed in Vanderbilt.
And just watching our phones, because we were told, don't go far from a...
Well, I mean, this kind of comes full circle, because then we had a week of, well, what if Georgia goes bad? What if Georgia goes bad? What if Georgia goes bad? And the administration for Ole Miss at that time was having a hard time pulling the trigger. So the Georgia game, and Neil, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we were kind of keeping score there because had that game gone worse, I think he's fired that day. I think Ole Miss somehow, because Georgia screwed up a lot basically, kept that game just close enough that the announcement wasn't made that week. I think it would have been made right then. Somebody's an interim coach, and you move on the rest of the season instead of after Kentucky where Houston stays on the rest of the year. And we're literally talking about Houston got extra weeks as the acting head coach without being lame duck because Georgia missed some field goals and didn't punch in some red zone opportunities.
There's no question. I think the plan was to do it after that, which was, again, back to our original point.
Yeah.
You're making decisions on one game?
Georgia beat them 27-13, and then they got a one-week reprieve because they went to Fresno and beat the Bulldogs 38-28.
And were obnoxious after that game.
Alabama was 52-7 after that, and then Arkansas was after that. I think Ole Miss was up 17-0 against Arkansas, if I remember correctly.
Something like that.
They got beat 29-24 and had the ball late to win.
I remember that day for sure.
Auburn 41-23 the next week, and then it fell apart in Lexington 30-13.
Yeah. That was the day that I asked him.
I don't know, Neil.
I said, do you anticipate being the head coach at Ole Miss next season? I don't know, Neil. And he never said my name. 4 years, wouldn't say my name. And he said my name, and I said, it's over. And sure enough, I made a couple of calls and was told it's over.
Tomorrow.
It's happening.
Monday.
It's probably happening Monday because everyone's traveling Sunday.
But it's over.
And so we spent that weekend writing. We had everything already written.
For Boone and he and him.
We actually had it Sunday night.
Yeah.
Didn't hit the button because we just, there was that 1% chance that we were wrong. And then on Monday morning, I got it confirmed early, and we just started hitting buttons.
And the infamous 27-7 tech game was right after that.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
You were in Starkville.
I went to do a Kirby Smart story.
Yeah.
That'll be what's interesting from a coverage standpoint this season. If this season goes badly quickly, we'll have to make some of those kind of decisions. How do you cover a football season that becomes somewhat meaningless?
What'd you make of the Little League softball thing the other day where the team got eliminated because of their social media?
I didn't see this.
You hadn't seen this? Richmond, Virginia, 12-year-old, 11-year-old softball team. They're in the softball version of the Little League World Series. Okay?
Okay.
And they came back from Kirkland, Washington, where, it was for 12 to 15-year-olds, Junior League Softball World Series. And I think they had just beaten, they just beat Kirkland, Washington, maybe the host team. And we're going to play in the finals to basically win the national championship or whatever it was, okay?
Okay.
Well, after the game, the semifinals, apparently, according to them, they'd had some hard times with their host site and had been some tension and different things.
Okay.
Multiple girls on the team did a Snapchat of them basically saying, like, to the host or something, referring to Kirkland, and all flipping them off, birds.
Ooh.
Middle fingers. Put it up on Snapchat or whatever the social media device was. Their coach made them erase it pretty quick, but when the Little League found out about it, they eliminated the team from the event and gave Kirkland the spot in the finals.
Well, I mean, you tell your kids all the time, what you put on social media is there forever. I'm not the best role model as it pertains to that because I sometimes lose my temper on social media. You had to think when you put that picture up that there was a decent chance there were going to be repercussions, right? There's not much room for interpretation when you post a team full of kids with the middle finger.
It was Atlee was the team this happened to. They went on to win the game 1-0 in a game which a Kirkland play. This is what's kind of funny about this. A game in which a Kirkland player and coach were ejected for stealing signals. With Atlee's disqualification, Kirkland advanced to the final and lost Saturday to a squad from Poland, Ohio. Atlee had played Poland in pool play, which meant that Atlee had beaten both finalists. Batten added that he was not defending what the players did. Our kids were absolutely wrong in what they did, but they paid a heavy price for it and essentially said that the punishment did not fit the crime, in his opinion.
I don't like giving it the spot to the team that lost. You didn't win.
Do you just not play a final?
Don't play a final if the other team win. I don't like...
Hey, Poland.
You're champs.
Title.
Here's your trophy. Here's the medals. Yeah. Congrats. Hell. They forfeit. Yeah. I don't like that.
I don't like it especially. Now, look, I'm not defending the girls whatsoever. It also reeks a little to me when it's the host site getting that spot, and that's how this decision played out.
Yeah,
we know Little League politics. There's something about that that raises my antenna.
I would not have had a problem with saying they lost the right to play in the final. But by winning the game, they won the right to advance to the final. So if you want to say, hey, your attitudes, your actions prevent you from – we have deemed that you don't deserve to play in the final, therefore the final will not be played. You'd have less of a problem with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm good there.
But the kids that lost they didn't earn the right to play in the final either. So what you're saying is, if you wanted, if you didn't do it accurately, neither team deserves to play in the final. So the kids from Poland, you said? Poland, Ohio. You're the champs. Congrats. Here's your trophy. I'd have no problem with that. You're the champs. You advanced to the final.
Didn't do anything stupid.
We have determined that the other team that advanced to the final does not deserve the opportunity to play against you. Therefore, you win by forfeit. 1-0. You're the champs. Congrats.
Yeah. Come get your trophy.
Come get your trophy and
head on back to Ohio.
Yeah. Do whatever it is you're going to do. Thanks. What would be wrong with that?
Speaking of same kind of thing, little news that we missed the last few days. Did you see, you got something else?
No. I was going to tell you that what I've done in the last few days is I've caught myself turning the television off because I just don't want to read anything more about North Korea and nuclear war and such. I can't do anything about it. What was it? Control the controllable? I have no control over that. I've caught myself like just completely tuning out from news.
Have you really?
Yeah, seriously. Probably not smart, but I'm just being honest, keeping it real here. We're all talking about banana pudding and important stuff. So
we are. It'll be more important tomorrow. We got Robin Tannehill on tomorrow. We'll get back into a little more news day of a podcast. Podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts.
What were you
going to
throw at me?
I'm going to get to it in a
second. Okay.
MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, serving Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding areas, all of North Mississippi for Skeeter Beaters. They're a mosquito spray company that works with the same number. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. They do turf, they do lighting, they do irrigation, they do landscape, they do a little of everything. So you can get a free quote at 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. If you sign an annual contract and mention the podcast, first cut is free.
The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They are looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. Again, it's benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years of handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or Oxford at 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton, is equipped with the largest staff in the Grove, can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC-only and full-season packages. They have complete rental packages available. They offer a ton of game day options, concierge, trash removal, all sorts of those things. It's the largest vendor in the Grove. They still manage to know each customer personally. They typically sell out for every game. Visit the site today at 7southtailgating.com. If you try 7 South for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. 662-321-1682.
The Georgia professor that was letting the kids pick their own grades.
Oh,
did
yeah.
You see this?
Well, I heard about it.
You didn't read about it a lot?
I wanted to, and I've been a little busy, but no, I should have.
All right.
Fill me in.
Okay. This guy teaches some business classes or something. I don't know. University of Georgia.
Yeah.
Here is a copy of, or at least a page out of his syllabus. Okay?
Okay.
Stress reduction policy. This is real. This is not fake.
Okay.
Emotional reactions to stressful situations can have profound consequences for all involved. In order to avoid such situations in this class, the following policies will apply. Bullet points following. All tests and exams will be open book and open notes, including the use of material on your laptop. All tests and exams will be designed to be completed in the allotted time by the majority of students. All tests and exams will be designed to assess low-level mastery of the course material. If you feel unduly stressed by a grade for any assessable material or the overall course, you can email the instructor indicating what grade you think is appropriate, and it will be changed. No explanation required, but it's requested that you consider waiting 24 hours before emailing the instructor. If in a group meeting you feel stressed by your group's dynamics, you should leave the meeting immediately and need offer no explanation to the group members. Furthermore, you can request to discontinue all further group work, and your grade will be based totally on non-group work. Only positive comments about presentation will be given in a class. Comments designed to improve future presentations will be communicated by email. While this policy might hinder the development of group skills and mastery of the class material, ultimately that's your responsibility. I will provide every opportunity for you to gain high-level mastery.
Oh, my God.
Got some comments?
I mean, are we serious?
He is.
So you just decide, hey, man, I'm a little stressed out by this class. I deserve an A. Okay. Give you an A.
Yeah. And if you had a crappy project, no one can tell you that. And even if they are giving you constructive criticism, it has to be referred to by email, not in person, so you do not embarrass that person in class. If you can't deal with one of your group members, you can just leave the group. No big deal.
No big deal.
Really getting people ready for the real world here.
I mean, Chase.
It's complete and utter disservice to the maturation of students.
There's nothing about the real world there.
Because of the backlash, they have since removed the policy. But point stands.
I will say this. I'm gonna brag on my kid for a minute. Not because he's my kid, but because I think that generation gets attacked sometimes in ways that it's not fair. Carson tried out for a baseball team in Oxford this summer. They only kept 10 kids. And he worked for it. He didn't make it. His reaction was not the reaction that you are told that all the kids his age have. His reaction was, well, he never said that's not fair. He never said I deserved it. He said, who made it? And I told him. And he goes, yeah. I can see that. And he said, well, Dad, what I want to do is I want to work really hard over the next year. Will you find out what I needed to do to get better? And I did. Texted the coach.
Got a response.
And Yeah. I texted the coach and said, hey, thanks for allowing him to try out, basically. What is it he needs to work on? And he gave me a couple things. And I said, what drills would you recommend? And he helped me with that too. Could not have been nicer. And Carson said, you know, Carson, as you know, it's soccer season now. He said, let's go do it. Let's go do it before soccer practice. And so we've been going hitting and doing these throwing drills to strengthen his arm, stuff like that. Kids can handle constructive criticism. Kids can handle discipline. Kids can handle being challenged. And kids can handle and deep down want to have goals set for them. To assume that they can handle no stress.
No, it's adults making them soft.
Yes, it is our fault. I'm so tired of people blaming the kids, man. I'm so sick of it, I could scream. When college kids show up in college and they're completely unprepared for the real world, it's not on them. It's just not. It's on us. It's okay. In fact, it's good in life to lose. It's good in life to fail. It is. It's good to fail. You learn from failure. It's okay to teach people that you know what? You can't have it yet. You're going to have to work harder. But there's a way to get there.
Yeah.
And it's okay in life to understand sometimes that you can set a goal and you don't achieve it. And that doesn't mean you failed. It means you didn't get there.
Everybody in their life is going to apply for jobs and not get them.
Yeah, Campbell applied for a job just the other day. She didn't get it. So what do? You stop?
Going to have interviews that go poorly.
You never apply for another job? Carson had a baseball tryout last night that started very badly.
Yeah, I called you kind of at the low point.
And he rallied. Yeah. Caught himself, took a deep breath, said, hey, I've been putting in work. And we'd driven on the way over there. And I said, you know, if you don't make this, it's not a big deal. This is not the end of your life here. Go have fun. You've worked. Go have fun. If you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. But you're going to fail. I don't understand. No stress. No, life is stress, man. There's stress.
Prepare for it.
There's going to be stress.
Develop some skin.
Yeah. There's going to be stress. You're going to work. One of my first bosses at the Birmingham Post-Herald, man, I hated that bastard. Pardon my language. It's horrible. I came in. The news guy? Yeah, I came in at 4 in the morning. My shift started at 4 in the morning. I'd have copy to them by 5:30, and I would write stuff that I thought was really good. I mean, I'd driven out to police stations. I'd made 30 calls, gotten stuff, written stuff, had gone out to the scene of a fire, stuff like that, and I wrote what I thought was really good, and, man, he would send it back to me just redlined. And you'd always have to go, hey, I've got, I'll never forget, a couple of the guys that are in my little quadrant. One of them was a established political guy in Alabama who would just say, hey, deep breath.
Fix it.
Fix it. Deep breath, fix it. You're doing good.
Because that was that dude's job.
But he picked me apart. Yeah. 'Cause his job was to make it better. And he had no bedside manner. And sometimes you'd get really tired, and sometimes you'd want to say, I quit. I'm done. You'd want to just say, I'm done. And I learned, I got a little mid-morning break after the first, it was an afternoon paper. I learned, go downstairs and walk. 10 minutes. Just walk. Breathe a little air. Get away. It was before cell phones. You could truly unplug 10 minutes and then come back up and finish your shift. Yeah. And don't let it get to you. And there will be another opportunity. And sure enough, there was another opportunity. And they, one of the reasons I got the job was because I'd handled working with that guy. In their eyes, oh, you really handled him well. And I'm biting my tongue going, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, he made me a better writer. He made me a better reporter. He really did.
He was an editor in the
He was an editor at the Birmingham Post-Herald, and he was tough as nails, man. He was relentless.
What ended up happening to him?
I don't know.
No idea. Hadn't kept in touch?
No, I mean.
Not under a Christmas card list?
No, but I mean, by the end.
I mean it negatively.
No, by the end, I really respected him. I was like, you know, I have become a better reporter. But that's my point. I mean, when you teach people that there's not going to be any adversity, no, there is going to be adversity in your jobs, in your careers, in your life. There is going to be adversity. Why you would teach people that it's okay just to throw it in? I don't understand that.
You think about Joe West finally being suspended.
Oh, it's about time.
Why has he gotten such a pass for so long?
Because he was there for so long, seniority.
Period. To where there's really nothing, I mean. Because even now, it's not anything he did on the field. It's for his comments about Adrian Beltre during kind of a celebration thing.
Well, it just shows you that they've been frustrated with him on the field.
Spending 3 games for comments he made about Texas third baseman Adrian Beltre, who recently got his 3,000th hit. And USA Today report published June 20th, timed to coincide with the umpire's 5,000th regular season game, as you were talking about. It's got to be Adrian Beltre when asked who the biggest complainer was in the major leagues. Every pitch you called us a strike, he says, whoa, 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 I had a game with him recently, and the pitch was right down the middle. He tells me that ball's outside, West was quoted as saying. I told him, you may be a great ball player, but you're the worst umpire in the league. You stink, West was also quoted as saying. Beltre told reporters the Tuesday he thought West's suspension was unnecessary and that West told him he was kidding when he worked a Rangers series in early July. The World Umpires Association said Tuesday that West was serving the first game of the suspension. It said Major League Baseball told the union in a letter the discipline was response to, and quote, an appearance of lack of impartiality. Joking interactions between umpires and players are a routine part of the game, the union said in a statement. We disagree strongly with the decision to punish Joe West simply for sharing a humorous exchange with a player. It means he was not suspended for this. They found a reason they could suspend him and were pissed off about other things.
Yeah, well, they were pissed off about how his strike zone's terrible, and he's one of
those. Is he the guy that screwed around and threw out the guy on the on-deck circle thing the other day, too? Was that West?
I don't think that was West.
That wasn't West?
Uh-uh. Okay. But just ump show. Too many ump shows in Major League Baseball lately.
Because they have no discipline.
Call the game. Like the guy that missed the call on Chris Bryant, threw Chris Bryant out of a game in the fourth inning. No, man, come on. The fans are there to see Chris Bryant play. They're not there to see you. Angel Hernandez stared down the Blue Jays pitcher on a call that he clearly missed.
Oh, that was right. I saw that.
And Russell Martin turned and looked at the umpire and said, put your mask back on.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Like, so then the umpire glared at him?
Oh, yeah. You know, because the night before, he'd thrown out the pitcher and Russell Martin. Just call the damn game. They're there to see people. When you go to games. You go to games. You see the players. I want to go see the players. I want to see elite pitchers pitch and elite hitters try to hit elite pitching. When you see it in person, it is spectacular.
It was actually Beltre that moved the on-deck circle the other day, but that was Jerry Davis.
Yeah.
Second base umpire made that decision, too.
I mean, Beltre kind of asked for it that night.
Moving the on-deck circle.
And that was a 21-8 game or something ridiculous, and he probably had enough. But
well, he was going to stand in the on-deck circle.
I mean, it was funny as hell. I didn't have a problem with that ejection. It was late in the game. It was clearly.
Beltre says, I wasn't being funny. He told me to stand on the mat, so I pulled the mat where I was and I stood on it. I did exactly what he told me to do. I was listening. Well.
Fair enough. I mean, I.
He says the reason he stands so far away from the circle is because he's been struck by stray foul balls in that spot before, and he doesn't want to get hit, so he picks a spot that's less likely to occur, and it's never been a problem until now.
That was probably at the end of a game where a lot of emotions had run. Who knows? I never had it. When I saw that one, I laughed. I wish the umpire would have been like, dude, come on. Please. Or just been like, whatever. Stand wherever the hell you want to stand.
It's your fault if you get hit.
If you get hit, you get hit. I'm not making – whatever. Your team's down 13 in the eighth. This just doesn't really matter.
Fans had hung around because he was still chasing 3,000.
Yeah.
At the time.
That's why you don't kick him out. Maybe you don't kick him out. You let him do it, and then between innings you go say something to the manager. You say something to him. But come on, man. You don't like it when we show you up. Now you're showing me up. Come on. You're better than that.
Instead, the manager ended up getting tossed too.
Yeah, because once you're – the manager at that point was like, I don't want to be here either.
Good idea, Adrian. Let's go in the locker room.
There's beer in the clubhouse, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not winning the game. Nothing I do matters for the rest of this, right. rest of this point. So.
You look down at the bench coach. You know, you need some experience.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Go get them.
Ole Miss tickets are available online. You can you'll see the banner. We'll have it up on our site later today. It's replacing the Rebel Locker Room banner. It'll be up soon. On sale now, though, season tickets, season parking passes, select home game tickets, group tickets, away game tickets, all of that at olemisssports.com. We'll get you all the links and everything to you hopefully later today. You can email for more information, olemisstix@olemiss.edu.
Podcast also brought to you for a while by Right Way Meds. Now we're telling you about Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. You can go online or give them a call at 662-252-2321 to inquire about their version of the pill. Instead of $50 or $60, it's just $10. It's also, instead of waiting 3 or 4 hours before it takes effects, they have a solution. When you call the home of the 15-minute quickly, developed a tablet with the active ingredient in the little blue pill that dissolves under the tongue and starts working as little as 15 minutes with the same length of effectiveness as the other guys. It's 60 milligrams, which you can break broken into smaller pieces, as little as 15 milligrams per dose. And again, only $10. Save Mississippi men thousands of dollars and made a lot of women happy over time. And give them a call again, TysonDrugs.com or 662-252-2321 for their version of sildenafil.
Always good to make women happy. The podcast brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the last 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer. They work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. Oxford University Bank offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. ATM fees are refunded with Kasasa. Also, OUB offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And the podcast is brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He is a realtor. He specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. If you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, you need to give him a call. His site is gotland.com. You can read his recent testimonials, check out his track record, see the properties that he has listed. Just know this, the land market is very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. You can call him at 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Just a quick look here. We've talked so much about participation and high school sports and football and different things. I see the NCAA Research, of all people, has put out some information here this morning. We'll kind of close here today.
Okay.
Maybe I'll just kind of tease it for tomorrow as much as anything. High school sports with most boys participating in 2016-2017 with a five-year percentage change under that. Okay, so I'm more interested in the percentage changes and overall numbers.
Sure.
However, these go in order of most boys participating.
Okay.
Gotcha?
Yeah.
Football still by far the most participated sport for a myriad of reasons. 57,407 is the number, and that is down 3.5% over 5 years, around 3.5%. Track and field, the next highest participation between for males.
Really?
That is up 4.3%.
Okay.
Over the last 5 years.
Okay.
Basketball is next. It's up 2.8% over the last 5 years. Baseball is next. It's up 3.7% over the last 5 years. Soccer is next. It's up 9.3% over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Cross country is next. It's up 7.2% over the next 5 years, over the last 5 years. Wrestling is next. It's down 10% over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Tennis is next. It's down 1%, so very little change.
So it's the same.
Yeah. Golf is next. It's down 7.4%, which is a pretty big fall there. And then swimming and diving up 3.4% over the last 5 years. Biggest changes, plus for soccer, minus for wrestling and golf.
A little surprised about golf, frankly.
It's expensive.
It is. Not surprised that wrestling's down. Not surprised that soccer's up.
Golf has made a really big push for youth and local, especially in Oxford. They've done a much better job recently, locally, for trying to get kids involved. But it's just time-consuming and expensive will always make golf a difficult growth sport.
We'll say this, I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody, and it's true. One of the things about football, like, you know, in a town like Oxford, for example, that's, we'll have Robin on tomorrow, we won't talk about this, but because she's nothing she can do about it. It's very, very competitive to make a baseball team,
mm-hmm.
to make a basketball team. It's very competitive to play on the football team. But it's not particularly competitive to make it.
It takes a lot of kids.
If you want to play, and be on the team and you're willing to put in the work, I mean, Chris Cutcliffe is probably not cutting kids at Oxford High School. Now, if the kid can't defend himself or something, that's a different thing. But if a kid wants to play football and he's willing to come out there and work, they're probably willing to invest in him.
Give him a jersey and a helmet.
I mean, I'm serious. So your kid wants to play on a team, wants to be a part of a team. We're not all blessed with athleticism. Some of that's not controllable. You know what I mean? I mean, it didn't matter how hard I worked. I was never going to be a Division I college athlete. Never going to happen. Simply wasn't athletic enough. So it's one of the things I think football has always had going forth, that there's no end in sight, and quite frankly, it might be promoting growth, which is one of the reasons that smart people, and there are lots of them, smart people are looking at football and saying, hey, we have to acknowledge the elephant in the room. And they are. Smart people are acknowledging the elephant in the room. The commissioner of the NFL is not, but that's okay. Smart people down below him are. I guarantee you the next commissioner of the NFL does.
It'll be a
guarantee it. It'll be a priority.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. All right, Robin Tannehill on tomorrow's show. We'll discuss City of Oxford and more. So it should be a good podcast tomorrow. Again, check rebelgrove.com. Coordinators available after practice today. We'll have some content to you at that time. Talk to you tomorrow.